Oh, g'day, Roo. I'm meant to play golf today, but I think I led straight to the 19th.
Yeah, it was always looking like a lot of rain was around, yeah. And it's come overnight, and lots of thunder as well.
Yep.
Our windows were shaking last night about 11:45. It was full on and a lot of rain around, which is absolutely brilliant for country areas and also the city areas as well.
You showed me the map this morning. It's the whole of the state,
isn't it? The whole of the state is getting wet. Usually you have a front coming across that just, you know, drops a bit of rain, but the whole state is getting wet right now.
Nice.
Everywhere. So we'll find out a bit more about that. We've got an interesting show today, Dits. Trevor Long's going to come on about flying taxis.
Yeah.
Going to be trialled in Melbourne next year.
Yeah, it's about to happen. There are only three cities in the world trialling it, and one of them's here in Australia.
I won't be first in. I'll let you get the first flight, Dits.
Thanks.
Brad Ebert will join us to talk about Port Adelaide, his concussion, Charlie Dixon, Ollie Wines. Will they go to Perth or not? I see Ken Hinckley saying they won't. Maybe Hamish Hartlett. The Metros will join us for a bit of shenanigans. Peter Ford will have all the entertainment news. So much getting talked about the Sea and Vines Festival at McLaren Vale, and most of it not good.
24 hours on, it's the stories are getting worse, Roo.
Well, they won't go away, will they, Dits? They're talking about just pure, you know, drunkenness and drug taking and bad behaviour.
Yep.
Is this been blown out of proportion or is it accurate? We'll find out more. We've got you two tickets as well, Dits, and the pressure test.
Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M. On Roo and Dits for breakfast, it's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Oh, indeed. Let's get 40 on. Plenty of juice this morning, Roo.
Yeah, exactly. I saw on Twitter over the last few days, Peter Ford's been tweeting with Sam Newman about the final quarter. What have you found out, Pete?
Well, you know, as you know, Sam is pretty out there on Twitter. I mean, he doesn't hold back with his opinions, and they're pretty extreme and getting more and more so. And he's obviously very angry and probably a bit fearful about this doco called The Final Quarter, the Adam Goods doco, bearing in mind there's actually two docos doing the rounds at the moment about Adam Goods, but the more controversial one is The Final Quarter. And apparently Sam comes out of it really badly, and he's obviously heard about this, and he's on the warpath saying all sorts of nasty things about it. So I said to him publicly on Twitter, if I can set up a screening of the movie for you, will you come with me? And he said yes. And I thought, that's great. And look, this wasn't a charity act on my part. I thought it'd make a good story for Sunrise. You know, we'll talk to him before it, then we'll talk to him afterwards and see if he feels any differently. But I've gone to the producers of the movie, and they're not willing to allow Sam Newman to see it.
When does it come out?
Well, they don't give any reason for it. They're saying it'll be going to air on television later in the year, and basically he can see it then. So this is despite the fact that dozens of other sports-related media people have been given the chance to see it and talk about it and write about it. They're not willing to facilitate Sam seeing it, which I think is very, at best, mean-spirited.
Is this the one where it's just purely media clips, or is this the one where they've got people doing interviews as well?
Yeah, no, this is just the purely the grabs, the archival grabs, audio, TV, and it just, apparently it's very, very powerful. People are raving about it, but Sam doesn't come out of it well, according to everybody I've spoken to. So I just find it odd that they wouldn't allow him to go in and see it. I mean, he can go to one of the screenings at the Melbourne Film Festival and buy a ticket if he's that desperate, I guess. He probably will, or send his, you know, solicitor. That could be what they're scared about. They might be scared of some sort of legal injunction or something to cause problems.
You'd think they'd be too smart for that, wouldn't you? Sure,
yeah,
if you're
going
to go have a crack at Sam Newman, Eddie McGuire, and names like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, they've been very selective then about who's been allowed to see it. So, yeah, they're fearful of something, no doubt about that. Hey, what can you tell us about Kylie Minogue and Michael Hutchins? She's spoken out about their romance.
Yeah, she's part of this new doco. It's a bit of doco morning this morning that they've done about Michael Hutchins, and this is called Mystify. And, you know, unfortunately, when any celebrity dies relatively young, there's always going to be question marks, and there still are question marks about Michael Hutchins' death and what happened. Was it a sex thing that went wrong, or was it deliberate? We'll never know. But in this doco, Richard Lowenstein got Kylie Minogue to talk about it for the first time. I suppose the funny thing that jumped out at me is she talks about the fact that they used to send faxes to each other's hotels. They were on the road in different parts of the world, and they had these kind of fake names for each other with the faxes. I mean, how quickly have we forgotten about fax machines. I mean, we used to rely on them all the time. And like in the space of, I don't know, a couple of years, it's like, well, yeah, what's a fax machine again? But that's how they were sending love letters to each other. It's
romantic, isn't it? Just listening to the beeps come in. What about Cuba Gooding Jr.? What have you got for us on Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Well, of course, Cuba Gooding Jr. very, very famous for this particular catch cry.
Show me the money. Yeah! Show me the money!
Yeah, nice and subtle. Jerry Maguire, of course. Well, he's still out there doing stuff and reportedly was doing stuff in New York on Saturday night. He was in a club. No one's denying that. Late at night, it seems like he'd had a lot to drink. A woman went up to him and said, you look like you've had too much to drink. Why don't you sit down and I'll get you a glass of water? So she got him a glass of water and she gave it the glass of water to him. And then he allegedly grabbed her on the breasts and groped her, fondled her. And she was so upset by this, she left the club. Unfortunately, she didn't report it to the management there and then. And when she got home, she thought, no, I'm not going to put up with this. So she called the cops. The cops went to the club. And he'd already left, unfortunately, and they can't find him now. I think that's the really weird part of the story, that it's like he's gone to ground. Maybe this massive bender he was on, he's sleeping it off for a few days, but the cops can't find him, which is odd. And there is the potential there of an indecent assault charge.
All right, some good stuff, Pete. Well done.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, Peter Ford there with all of our entertainment news. Rue, just getting back to Coley and Michael, it sort of puts a different slant on that term, get faxed. Doesn't it?
Get facts. Yes, it does. Did spot on. Well,
right. Ruan Ditts here on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruan Ditts Overnight Sports.
Watch NRL reigning premiers the Sydney Roosters take on their fierce rivals, the Melbourne Storm, on Friday 28th of June at Adelaide Oval. Tickets at tickettech.com.au.
Massive game tomorrow night at the Adelaide Oval. Thursday night footy here on Triple M. The Crows taking on Richmond. Crows coach Don Pike says they're very settled.
Guys are in good spirits. Pleasingly, the guys who played last week all pulled up really well, so I don't really anticipate too many changes to the squad.
Which raises the question, Roo, about Sam Jacobs squeezing his way back into this team.
Can't see him getting in this week, did? So amazing. Honestly can't. Riley O'Brien, some people had him best on ground, and Bernie Vincent, the Triple M football votes, had him in the top three. You know, you're not going to drop someone for that unless he's got an injury. So I'd expect Riley O'Brien to be playing and Sam Jacobs to play out at Elizabeth on Saturday afternoon.
Wow. Matt Crouch to play his 100th game, which is great news for the Crows. Richmond coming to town. And you might remember earlier in the year, they had all of their stars out of the team and they came here and beat Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Let's hear from Jack Revolt.
At that ground this year, where it can be a real fortress for both of those South Australian teams. So there's a real strong belief in our group.
Yeah, you want to have one too, mate.
Hey?
You're not playing Port Adelaide now. You're playing the Crows.
Oh, righto. Fair enough.
Nah, it's going to be a wet weather game tomorrow night too, Ditt. So, it'll just be a slogfest, won't it?
All right. The big question keeps on going at Port Adelaide. Will Ollie Wines, will Charlie Dixon play this week? Will Hamish Hartlett come back in? So we'll have to wait for selection. Well, very important
the
tonight.
Coach has all but ruled out Charlie Dixon and Ollie Wines. He's basically saying they are not playing.
All right.
So maybe Hamish Hartlett, but wait and see.
Casey McElroy, the young lady that played at Padthaway last week, has been banned for 6 weeks. She's going to take it to an independent tribunal next Tuesday. So good luck to her.
Yep.
Marcus Stoinis ruled out of Australia's World Cup clash with Pakistan tonight. The luckiest cricketer in the world, Mitch Marsh, has flown into England as a cover, injury cover.
He'll either get a duck or make 100.
Oh, gee. And the Matildas are gearing up for their second World Cup clash against Brazil on Friday after losing to Italy 2-0. That's our look at sport. Watch NRL reigning premiers, the Sydney Roosters, take on their fierce rivals, the Melbourne Storm, Friday 28th of June at Adelaide Oval. Tickets at ticketech.com.au.
Flying Ubers from the Melbourne CBD to the airport are going to start next year in 2020. We're going to have a chat to Trevor Long very shortly.
Triple M. Ruined Ditts for breakfast.
Uber are going to have these taxis now, flying taxis. Can you believe this? Three cities in the world to trial it next year. One of them's Melbourne. Our tech expert, Trev Long's on the line. Good morning, Trev.
Ruan Ditts, good morning.
G'day, Trev.
I've got a concern about air traffic control. How are they going to do this if there are taxis flying in all directions?
Yeah, spot on. Well, so what's going to happen is next year, Uber's going to bring at least one aircraft, and it's a brand new type of aircraft, not a helicopter, not a plane. It does vertical takeoff, horizontal flight, and that's why they need to spend several years, 3 years they have in the plan, to work with CASA, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, to understand how this all works. And they'll probably do trials around airports so that air traffic control get involved. It's basically 3 years of regulatory and industry approval over this new form of aircraft. And then you get to the point of going, what? Well, we know we like this aircraft. How are we going to use it? And how they're going to use it is in the Uber app. So you could be at Adelaide Airport and say, I need to go to the city. And instead of driving 10, 15 minutes, it might take you 3-4 minutes and you'll be landed. You know, like, it's literally going to take travel time from major destinations to other major hubs and cut it by multiple.
So you got a taxi terminal or an Uber terminal. Where do you pick these up? Surely it's, do you walk out onto the tarmac and get a connecting flight?
They envisage skyports. So they envisage something being built. Well, you walk through the terminal, go to this skyport, and you go onto the roof, and there'd be your Uber waiting for you, tell you what seat to get in. And they've done a deal with Westfield, the people that own Westfield. So they're not saying they're going to convert Westfield shopping centres, but it's a great piece of infrastructure that exists around the country that could form the basis for skyports in the suburbs. So, you know, think of a Westfield shopping centre. Think of being able to land on the roof from the airport, and that could be the way to shortcut your destinations in the future. It's a long way off, but it is genuinely happening. Like, we had the Federal Aviation Authority here, the Secretary of Treasury for Donald Trump's cabinet, like a lot of bigwigs here talking about this. It's not a G-up. It's happening.
Yeah. No, I get that. But I'm still concerned. Like, Melbourne is a very, very busy city. We know that. Imagine how it would work in a city like London or New York. I mean, that is just frightening from where I sit. The number of people that may want to use these vehicles to get around, these craft to get around, I can't see how it's going to work.
Well, logistically, so Uber have a lot of data. There's something like 15 billion trips been made in Uber cars. So they have a lot of data that knows exactly where we go to, and when we go there. And so what will happen is you won't always get the Uber Air. You might be put onto a car. They're only going to put people into the Uber Air where they've got seats for them. So as they put more aircraft in the air, they'll push more people to the air service. And others will still take the car. I mean, it's going to be a split service multi-mode for many years to come, but I guess unless we're talking about it, it's never going to change, and we're going to be stuck in traffic forever.
Makes sense from a traffic point of view, from a time point of view, probably even from a cost point of view. I think everyone's just a bit concerned about the safety that Ditz is talking about, but I'm sure they're not going to go with it until they know it's 99.999% safe.
Mate, CASA won't let it in the air until they're more than confident, and they'll be piloted. Let me be clear, they're not autonomous. Maybe down the track in 10 or 15 years, they'll be autonomous, but early days, they're going to be piloted, they're going to be twin engine, they're going to be electric. There's going to be huge safety involved, actually probably over and above what you get with a chopper.
Okay. Trev, just finally, I see where large corporations have invested in this, one of them being Telstra, and there are some others. I think Macquarie have invested as well. Any idea initially what it would cost for me to get to, you know, the CBD? What is it going to be, ultra expensive?
Yep. So if you use Uber now, you'll know there's Uber X, and then it goes up to Uber Black. Uber Black being the kind of premium end and a bit more expensive. They reckon they'll launch in 2023 at Uber Black pricing, and they'll get to a point where it'll be Uber X pricing. Now, that's pretty good, because there's plenty of people who choose that premium option, and if they're prepared to pay, that could be very good value.
Mm. All right. Good on you, Trev. Exciting times ahead, Roo.
It is.
We're now the Jetsons.
Oh, well, it'll be amazing if they can pull it off. You know, I'll share your thoughts if there's heaps of them in the air.
Now,
because if you think about Melbourne, how many helicopters would be in the air over there? There'd only be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 around the CBD.
Yeah.
If these things take off, there might be 100.
Roo, I don't want to get too technical here, but just for a moment, you know, when we going past our window every morning, we see the flight path, right?
Mm.
Well, it's called a flight path for a reason. We know that planes are going along what's called a vector to get to a certain airport. You would have to have vectors, if you know what I mean, or flight paths for these. You cannot just be flying in all directions or there will be prangs everywhere.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure they're well aware of that, but they couldn't take any risks with anyone's life. But interesting stuff.
Rude. Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide's going to join us next. And we usually like to have a bit of fun with Brad, but I've got a very, very serious question for him.
Yep.
I'm really concerned about something. I'm going to put it to Brad Ebert in just a moment. Ruined it's here on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
Science!
Grab the lab coats and whip out the Bunsen burners.
For science!
It's time to talk science
with Dr. Carl.
Amazingly, his 44th book, Vital Science, is on the shelves, and he's working on book number 45. Can you believe it? Dr. Carl, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Dr. Roo or Dr. Ditz? Getting it all confused there for a minute.
Sorry. Dr. Carl, been reading yes. about mindfulness in schools with kids. They're saying forget maths, forget English. This could be the most important tool for our young ones. Some schools are already doing this. Just talking to Mel here, who pushes our buttons, even back when she was in high school, her PE teacher did it every morning. Is it important? Does it work? What's it all about for our kids?
It's a way of keeping in the here and now. And overwhelmingly, it's a good thing, but it can be dangerous.
Ooh, dangerous?
Wow.
Yeah. Paracelsus said, all drugs are poisons. What matters is the dose. So firstly, a little bit of history. So the Buddhists and the Hindus have had this long philosophy of there's no real difference between you and the rest of the universe. That's the Buddhist side. Or you are nothing. So, in other words, you have to give up yourself to find out what is truly around you. That's part of their core. It was picked up by a guy called Mike Murphy in the 1960s who started up the Asalan Institute in California. He was a devout Buddhist. And then it sort of spread around the world. And teaching you to be in the here and now, and actually, for example, listen to who you're talking to and then pick up the vibes, that's really important. But there is a slight problem that every now and then, and this is very rare, that people go into the full mindfulness thing without a proper guide or somebody who has been trained properly. And the saying is, and the scum rises to the surface, and then you can have people suffering side effects.
What sort of side effects?
Oh, they can get nervous. They can get upset about what they've found, what they're starting to think about. They can, in very rare cases, there have been psychotic episodes. So imagine that you're just sitting there, you're in your room, you're thinking about nothing, you clear everything out, you ignore the barking dog, and in most cases it's going to be good. But every now and then you might think, oh my God, I was so mean to that person when I was 16 years old.
Yep.
And for some reason you spiral out of control. And in general, people are trained properly, and it's part of cognitive behavior therapy.
Yep.
And you find people who have got no training saying, just go and do it by yourself, give me $20, see you later, and here's the app. And then overwhelmingly, it is a really good thing.
So right? what does it do for the people out there who've never done it before and the skeptics on it? What's the good thing about meditating for kids and even adults?
It gets you in the here and now. So you're paying attention to, for example, what's in the classroom, or that the kid across the aisle might be a bit unhappy, and you sort of pick up on the vibe that they're just not that happy, and it turns out that their dog died or something like that. It lets you connect with the world better and ignore the distractions like, oh, my phone just went off. Oh, and did you see this funny video of a cat? It puts you more in the here and now. But on the other hand, you can have the occasional bad side effects, twitching, trembling, panic, disorientation. These are very rare, but they have happened when people have not been properly guided, you know, or bad thoughts come up from deep down, you know, the scum rises to the surface.
You talk about being in the here and now. Isn't it also about relaxation? Like, aren't we talking about people that have anxiety?
Anxiety is a whole different complicated thing and a really big mess. And there's anxiety with cause and without cause. If I'm anxious because, for example, I'm late for talking to you guys, that's okay. But if I'm anxious and I don't know why, that's a whole different medical condition, and that can lead to people's lives falling apart. So anything to do with anything is more complicated than you thought. So overwhelmingly, mindfulness is good, but it's not the cure for everything, and it can, in certain very rare cases, lead to bad outcomes.
Are they the same thing? Mindfulness and meditation, are they the same thing?
They're part of the same area of knowledge, but they're quite different. So if you get one of the mindfulness apps, it takes you down, but then there's nobody guiding you. So you'll say, oh, can you hear a dog barking? Okay, now ignore that dog. Now what else can you hear? And suddenly you can hear that there's a tap running somewhere. Somebody's watering their garden. So it's the here and now, whereas I won't go any deeper because it's too hard to explain in such a short period of time.
Dr. Carl, thank you. His 44th book, Vital Science, is on the shelves. I've just had a text message from my wife saying, did I realise she's got a PhD in mindfulness? I've wondered all this time what she was doing.
Oh, we could have got her on.
I know. Yeah. I didn't realise.
Yeah. Then we could have asked her why she got her to shave your nuts.
Oh, please don't.
And that's killed two birds with one stone. Hey, it's time for the pressure test. Give us a buzz. 133353.
But you know, we've just made all the Buddhists happy this morning. We preach to everybody here on this show.
Of course we do. And we're about to give away $1,000 cash as well. Give us a call. 133353.
Triple M.
Leave it. Leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruins, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Oh, Brad Ebert joins us. Just before we get to Brad, I want to ask you what you think about this, but I'm flicking around the TV channels last night. I'm watching Nine News, and exclusive, it says. Exclusive. I thought, hello, this will be interesting. Yeah, I like a breaking story.
Mm.
And it's Brad Ebert. I thought, no, this can't be right because he's contracted to us.
He is.
We would get the exclusive. Surely we would get told first anything that's happening he's paid by Triple M.
Must have told him a furphy.
How much are Channel 9 paying you?
Nah, they just popped up at the airport yesterday afternoon. I thought I'd get away with that one. And then did tell you boys last week that I was going to Melbourne. But obviously they somehow found out the actual day and time. So
Can you say no comment?
Wow,
no comment. Listen to Triple M in the morning. Yeah. Just listen to Triple M in the morning.
Well, I didn't really
listen to Triple M in the morning.
It's all you
ruined
had to say.
In the morning. Ruined it in the morning.
You need media training.
Quarter to eight.
Breaking news. Brad, I've been saying all morning, I've got a bit of a question to ask you. And to be honest, this comes from a lot of Port supporters concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, all Port supporters love the Ebert family. It's been a long tradition at the football club. I want to put it to you that 6 weeks out with concussion is unusual. And we know you've been to Melbourne a couple of times, so it's very, very serious.
Yep.
You're going to come back and play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you get concussed again? Is that, and it's a serious question, I know, but is that career ending?
No, I don't think it is career ending necessarily. That's I spoke to I caught up with the neuropsych in Melbourne yesterday, as we're breaking right now. That's what happened.
Yes.
I went over there yesterday and caught up with her and did a couple of tests and stuff. And she sort of said that, you know, from here on, she believes that I'm okay. And, you know, if another one comes about, we just deal with that as another concussion. So she was sort of saying that, you know, I'm fully recovered from that one. And the symptoms persisted. But
100% recovered.
Yeah, she was confident that I'm 100% recovered. And she was saying that because the symptoms persisted a little bit longer than normal, it meant that, they wanted me to sit out a little bit longer.
Yep.
But then she said that that doesn't then determine if I get concussed again, that doesn't mean that that's it.
So you had that discussion?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had a chat with her and she just sort of said that she was confident with where my, you know, cognitive ability and, you know, mental aptitude, I guess, like where all that sort of stuff was at.
Yep.
She was confident that, that this was then going to be another standalone incident. And going forward, if there's another one, we deal with that as another incident rather than, this is another concussion and this could be it. So, it was interesting. But
So if you get a knock, let's just say it's an 8 out of 10 knock, and then say if someone never had a concussion before and they get the exact same knock, would it affect you more than it affect the kid?
No, well, this is what she's saying, that it shouldn't. No.
Okay. So you just got to wait and see what happens.
That's exactly it, yeah. So she was saying that she can't just give me a hard and fast rule that, okay, if you get concussed again, that's it. It's really a case-by-case scenario, and I might recover bang like that and I'll be fine to go again. Or if they do start lingering longer and longer, that's when you probably start after questioning it. So I'm comfortable that I've got over this one, and, we'll go for it.
All right.
Good wearing news. A helmet?
Yeah, I will, yeah.
Yep.
And play for the Magpies this week.
And I'm playing for the Maggies this week. Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be exciting, mate. First time since 2007. So
hasn't got a target on it or anything, has it?
No. It's got a lot of Hey Diddle stickers on it, I think.
The first advertising helmet we've ever seen. What number will you wear for the Magpies? Do you know?
I don't know, mate. I think there is a number.
73.
I reckon there was a 7 running 45. Around. So do I go up there and just tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, that's my number?
Paul Rank.
Maybe. I'm not sure if there is a 7 or not playing in the league at the moment. So
they had the Sturt down at Alberton last weekend for Charlie Dixon and Ollie Wines. You've got the Red Legs on Sunday down at Alberton. So the Red Legs are going to come down.
Port Norwood.
It'll be big.
At the Mecca.
It'll be big. I remember our debut against Red Legs back in 2007. So, now I'm going back there and doing it again.
Deja vu.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Just with a helmet and a few years under my belt.
You were just saying to us that driving in, you were listening to our chat about mindfulness.
I was, mate.
This is a big thing with AFL football, as you were saying.
Yeah, I reckon it's big, and I think it's big in the community, and like you're saying, it's something that is really coming to the foreground in terms of people talking about it and stuff. So, I'm a big believer in it, and I just think it centres you, it repositions you, and it's really beneficial.
Okay, good stuff. More with Brad Ebert in just a moment. Ruined, it's on Triple M. Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide, our special guest, yes. Roo. Let's find out who's going to come back for Port Adelaide this week.
Yeah, well, you've got Tom Rockcliffe, who failed a fitness test over in China. He'd be one that would be putting his name up for selection if he trains well this week, Ebo.
Yeah, I think he's the one that you've got to... I'm not 100% sure where he's at because I wasn't there yesterday. But, yeah, I'd say he's got to train tomorrow and then... You know, we'll see what happens. But I guess with the hammy, it's one of those touch and go ones. Do they take him across or not? So, I guess I'll just have to weigh that one up. But yeah, we've got some other players up and running.
So it's a Saturday afternoon game at Optus Stadium in Perth at 4 o'clock, the twilight game. It's an 8-point game. You guys sit eighth on the ladder, level with Freo, who are in ninth with 6 wins, 5 losses. Very similar percentage. It's an 8-point game. Could decide the finals, this one. These games are really, really important to win.
They are, mate. Yeah, they're very crucial. And, I guess going into this, if you win, like you said, you're sort of getting ahead of the ledger. If you lose, you're back at 6-6. And back with the pack. So, yeah, it's definitely important for us. And it's never easy going over there, though. So the boys are up for it.
They beat Collingwood in Melbourne the last start. So their form's good, but your form was good in China as well. So it's going to be a cracking contest.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good one. I think, like you said, they were able to top Collingwood. They've got some big-name players. They've got some really good players in some good form. But so do we. And so I think that I'm confident the boys can go over there and get it done. The boys like travelling. This will be the third week in a row on the road. And I think we've shown that we do it pretty well.
All right. Charlie Dixon, Ollie Wines to play with you in the Magpies. Yes. What about Hamish Hartlett?
Well, I'd imagine that he is one that I think that's probably his third SNFL game now.
So he could come up.
He's probably another one that could be coming up. Yeah, I think that he's one that's showed he's had some really strong weeks and he'll be a player that I'd imagine would be knocking the door down and really trying to push for it. So not sure where he's going to be, but yeah, I think we've already sort of told that Ollie and Dicko and myself are going to be in the Maggies. So looking forward to it.
All right, the Red Legs.
Yeah, yes. Indeed, mate. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for answering our questions as well. And go well this week.
Oh, good guys.
In the helmet.
Yes. I'll see you next week. I'll bring it in for you.
Please,
a bit of show and tell.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
The boys are in. We've got Flack, Nails and Todd, a.k.a. Fabio. How are you, boys?
Good morning, boys.
Morning. Nails, stock share tips this week?
I've got one for you this morning. It's called Highfield Resources. So we're in Spain
bloody
today,
mining.
Boys.
We're in Spain.
We're in Spain today.
Where were we last week? Peru or somewhere, weren't
where
we?
Where were we? Argentina or something.
Yeah, right.
But, it's a potash mine.
Potash. What is potash used for?
I think it's used for agriculture.
So you
for
don't actually know.
And things like that.
But we'll invest in it anyway.
But yeah, it's, it looks like it might get the approval from the government over there. So
you've got the inside word.
There you go, bro.
Yeah, good work. I'll be on that.
I'll tell you what, Argentina's economy is flying. really invest in that. Hey, now, first up, Todd, I've heard a whisper. You're on this thing called Bumble. Tell us what Bumble is.
Well, it's sort of like Tinder, but a dating app where the women have to say hi first, basically.
So women have all the power. So women hit on
blokes.
Initially,
yeah. So you can't say hello to them. And then there's also a time frame where if you don't respond, I think it unmatches you.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, the reason we're raising this rule is Bumble are opening a bar where... So blokes will go into the bar and we'll all stand there and we're not allowed to approach women or chat them up. They have to approach the men and chat the men up.
Mm.
So they've got all the power. Flack, does this appeal to you?
Yeah, it sure does. But there's a good and a bad. So I don't have to make the first move. They have to come to me.
Mm.
But the bad part is, imagine I'm in a bar standing next to Nails and Fabio.
Mm.
Thank you, Mel, in the
no
background.
You've
you don't need to have a big laugh, but that's okay.
I know where you're going with this.
You see
I'd
where
the,
I'm going?
I'd be the same.
So I'm not going to get as
you
much
attention.
You and
I will end up talking to each other, won't we?
That's right. which I'm cool with.
We'll be twiddling our thumbs. And we'll just say to the boys as they go, hey, have a good night, boys.
Yeah, good luck.
So I prefer the woman to have the power and to make the move because then I feel more comfortable.
Yep.
But it's not going to happen often.
Right, Nails?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have minded it, I think. I wasn't super confident in going up to girls and sort of making the first move.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
I think it's good for guys that lack a bit of confidence. It's sort of the easy way out, I think. Mm. But yeah, I'd be all for it.
Righto. Todd?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, as well as there's the other flip side too, where if you're sitting there all night and you're busting to talk to a girl that took your fancy and you can't, then you got to wait till after, and I don't know if I could wait that long.
No, that's right. Now, hang on. I want to bring an expert in on this. Mel, the button pusher. Now, as a female, I know you're happily in a relationship, but girls now having to approach men and walk up to them, can it work? Would it work? Would you enjoy that?
I thought this was sort of the last thing that you blokes had to do. You know, this was how you proved you were really interested. So I kind of liked the men doing all the approaching personally. I wouldn't like this bar. No.
Okay. No, fair point. Hey, I've had a letter here, Jane, who says she's 24 years of age and wanted to ask the Metros about this. This is on our, how do we do this? What's the website? No, not the website, the email address, isn't it?
Ruindits at Triple M.
Thank you. Ruindits at Triple M. There you go. See, I'm up with all this technology. Yeah. That was the one.
That was smooth.
Jane has emailed us. But she might have tweeted as well. I'm not
sure. She might have faxed.
She might have faxed. Might have dropped in a letter, for all I know, with a stamp on it. Anyway, Jane somehow got a hold of us. And she's keen here from the Metro. She's a similar age and says that her boyfriend, they were going out for 3 months, and she's in the toilet just sitting there having a whiz. And next minute he walks in and starts brushing his teeth, and she's gone off, and he's gone, what's the problem? Like, oh, we're going out. I'm just coming in to brush my teeth. She was absolutely horrified. What are the do's and don'ts with this, Flag? Surely that's all right after a few months. If your girlfriend's only having a wee and you need to brush your teeth.
After about a year, number one, not a problem. Used to do it.
Yeah.
And we were both comfortable.
Yeah.
Number two is a no-go zone.
Oh, let's not go there.
It's a no-go zone.
Nah,
what do you mean a no-go zone?
No-go zone. That that is your own private time.
But yeah. I would have thought if the girls Come are just on. Having a whittle, that's all right, isn't it, Nails?
Yeah, that's fine, mate. Yeah, that's happens all the time in our household. Yeah. So no dramas whatsoever.
No dramas with that, Jane, I reckon. Todd?
Yeah, all four, I guess.
He just wants a girlfriend.
Now, Todd's been recognised, by the way.
Yeah,
he's been here a month and he's taken off. Tell us what happened on Bumble.
Yeah, so shout out to Tanya.
Oh.
She's
we're not doing requests.
Love shout out to Tanya.
Just a match on Bumble, actually. Yeah, so.
Little match
on
Bumble.
What did she say? What did she say?
She's recognised me. I've obviously put on there that I'm, a Metro, or not a Metro. But,
Hold on, in your profile,
name dropping.
Are you saying that you're a Metro with ruined its on Triple M? You are, aren't you?
No, I haven't.
That's a sackable offence.
Yeah. Absolutely. You are gone.
Bring Howie back. She recognised you as a Metro, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put on Bumble that I'm an audio producer for Triple M.
Oh, she's put
two and two together. Oh.
Don't lie to us.
He's
did
out
you
of
put
control.
On that you're a Metro or not?
No, I promise you.
He's swear to God, look me in the eye.
I promise I can show you.
So hold on, you got a match from working at Triple M.
How come you haven't, Flag?
My life sucks. Just one match from saying I work at Triple M would be nice.
All right, good on you, Metros.
See you, boys.